Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast. This is Hunter Pulaski alongside Brad Burkaw. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. In this week's episode, we have the Zozo Championship recap from 2 weekends ago. And then we also have the top 50, top 125 players. Talk about that. We have Nelly Korda winning the Rolex Player of the Year. We will break down all of her accomplishments for this season. We have a couple of matches taking place over the next 2 months. We'll get our thoughts on that. And then finally, we are in the home stretch of the fall series. We have the Worldwide Technology Championship in Mexico this week. We will break that down. And then finally, we have our annual golf trip heading to Savannah, Georgia this week. Really looking forward to that. We will break down those courses as well. But first, Brad, the Zozo Championship over in Asia, Nico Evachera, Evachera, I think is what I'm going to go with. That's how I have it pronounced on the Google Doc. Wins for the second time on the PGA Tour, won in 2023, the Puerto Rico Open. In dramatic fashion, birdie on the last hole, par 5. To beat Justin Thomas and Max Griesterman by one shot. They both finished at 19 under par, but Nico is the winner. Thoughts and takeaways from the Zozo Championship 2 weekends ago?
Justin Thomas.
So close. Man, he... Kind of felt like something was happening there for a second. It's not like he played some really awesome golf, 66, 64, 65, 66. I mean, you bookend it with 66s and you lose. That's just kind of the way the cookie crumbles, I guess. I don't know. He finished with an eagle on the last hole to put himself in the position to force Nico to have to hit a really good second shot into that par 5, the 18th hole. He had 282 yards in on his second shot in regulation on 18 and carried the bunker by no more than 2 feet and ended up having a 50-foot putt for eagle that he two-putted to win, but felt like he was right there. Max Griesman, same way. I think he has three second-place finishes now just in the fall series. So he is right there and just can't quite get over the hump.
Yeah, I can confirm solo third, 3M, solo second at the 3M, solo second at the Wyndham, and then now T2 at the Zozo. He is also a good player. I think he's going to have a good season upcoming. He finished strong to end, coming into the end of the summer there. And, man, what do we think? All right, so for those who have listened in the past, we have a theory on this podcast, and the theory is that when you become a father, you play better golf. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but Mr. Thomas here is ready to have his first child. And it's just odd timing for him to place in a T2 right before that. Are we preparing ourselves for a year of Justin Thomas?
I don't know. I'm one of the biggest Justin Thomas fans you're going to find. And I would just like to get even back to like top 10 in the world. Justin Thomas is kind of who I don't need him to be a world beater. I need him to be capable. He had so many moments this year where he just looked lost. This is obviously a great place to start. And we do have the theory that the first time fathers play for more than I think in a way it does help it, but at the same time, I'm thinking about like Max Homa, who has not played his best golf since his kid was born. So
he started off strong, though.
Yeah. So there are potential flaws to that theory that we're still workshopping. I would just like him to be somewhat back to like 2017. Just if we can just have glimmers of that, that would be awesome.
He just needs to putt. He all of last season, he actually struck the ball pretty well. You know, around the green approach off the tee, most oftentimes was averaging strokes gained versus strokes lost in those categories. Putting, however, nearly every tournament in his last 25 starts, aside from about, we'll call it 5 to 10. I don't feel like counting them all at the moment. He's lost strokes on the putting green. So that's where he really needs to focus. So maybe he can channel some of that that dad energy on the putting green.
And he did put his he's been playing a little bit of putter roulette, I believe, and he put the putter he used for the latter parts of the 2010s back in the bag. And that's, I don't know how much you can take from that, but because I swear, like, you could put with a broomstick and be just as effective sometimes as a $700 putter, but I guess something new, something fresh, just a little different. But I mean, so far so good. T-second's better than what he has been playing.
That's for sure.
Just sliding down the rest of that leaderboard, we have to talk about Ricky Fowler. Continues his streak. That's 16 consecutive years. Every year he has been on tour, he has finished in the top 10 at least once. And he had not done that until this past weekend, or 2 weekends ago, when he finished solo fourth. That also really kind of secures his spot for next year. He was at 108, so he was probably still okay, but now very solid and at 92. Kurt Kitayama finishes in solo fifth at 15 under par. JJ Spahn T6 alongside Yuta Sugiro and Siwoo Kim, both at 13 under par, alongside Eric Cole and CT Pan, also at 13 under par. Taylor Moore at 12 under, Jonathan Vegas at 12, and then finishing out at T13s, we had Harry Hall, Seamus Power, and Sung J.M. One more kind of quick takeaway I want to get from this and your thoughts. There was a lot of talk in the streets on Twitter.com this past week and 2 weeks ago about sponsor exemptions. So two of the four sponsor exemptions for the Zozo went to guys that were very much right in the mix for the 125 cut line to maintain full status on the PGA Tour for next year. Joel Damon and Gary Woodland both received sponsor exemptions. Joel Damon was at 129. Gary Woodland was at 137. They both received exemption into a no-cut event, so guaranteed to get FedEx Cup points no matter what. Joel Damon, I think, finishes 44th. Gary Woodland finishes 29th. Joel goes from 129 to 124. Gary Woodland also moves up two spots to 135. So I ask you, what are your thoughts on sponsors being able to pick who they want, especially in like very crucial moments like this, where feels very, if I'm Matt Wallace or Joe Highsmith or Kevin Tway, that they're sitting right there on the cut line, I'd be furious.
Yeah, I don't love it. I'll say that. I guess I feel as if, I don't know, it feels almost a little bit like pay to play, kind of. Like, it just feels a little dirty. And I just beg, the question I have is, was there no one that you could have picked that was maybe local? You know, this tournament is played in Japan. Could you not find someone from like the Japan tour or a tour over there who excels, who's like the number one point, or someone that's a local to represent? I just feel like there had to have been other options.
So I think there were, they did give some, I think they had three or four, maybe four or five.
Yeah, maybe they should have extended it by two more.
That to the entire, and even more so to that point, why are we playing a no cut event? Why are we playing a no cut event in this part of the season? Like, this is like a very important time for where we probably should be like as much of a democracy as possible and allowing as many guys an opportunity, and then we play a limited field no cut event. I can't quite figure it out.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, especially for an event that, I mean, this event has to be more difficult for some versus others. You know, I mean, this is all the way over in Japan. This isn't just a quick trip to Florida for the weekend. You know, there's a lot more into that's involved with this. It's not as easy to go for some.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of to that point, I did write down or just do a list of the guys that are kind of sitting there right on the edge of the top 10, the Aon Next 10, I believe is what they're calling it. So a couple of guys that are sitting right on the edge that need to have some good weeks to secure spots into the signature events. Jake Knapp is sitting there at 61. Minwoo Lee is at 62. Lucas Glover, who is in good form, is at 63. Taylor Moore at 64. Nico, who just won last week, is at 65. So hopefully keep up with that good form this week. Bo Hosler at 66. Eric Van Rooyen, who was the past champion last year at the Worldwide Technology Championship, is at 67. So some good vibes going into this week. Brandon Todd at 68, Jonathan Vegas 69, Doug Gim at 70, and then also did 121 through 132 guys that are kind of right there in the bubble that really need to have good weeks, more so just for the sake of having a solidified job for next season. Hendrick Norlander at 121, S.H. Kim at 122, Hayden Springer at 123, there's Joel Damon at 124, Matt Wallace at 125, Joe Highsmith at 126. That's a name I really like this week. He has, I think he's 4 for 4 in the last four events, maybe all even top 25, all during the fall series. So he's really cooking with gas going into the latter part of this season. Kevin Tway at 127. Alejandro Tosti at 128. We need to make sure that Tosti maintains his tour card at all cost over the next three events. Daniel Berger, coming off that serious medical exemption 18-month hiatus, is at 129. Pearson Cootie at 130. Carl Yoon at 131. Taylor Montgomery falling back a little bit at 132. So those are kind of the names to look out for as we conclude these last 3 weeks of the fall series. All right. Anything else from the Zozo before we move on that you have?
No.
All right, Nelly Korda, back in the news. I feel like she started the season so hot, and then it has kind of, I don't want to say faltered a little bit, but it definitely feels like it in comparison when you start off 6 wins in the first 8 starts of the 2024 season. Anything but that feels like a letdown, but she has been awarded the Rolex Player of the Year. Due to those 6 victories in the first 8 starts, she's now the 27th different woman to win that award since it was the inception of it in 1966. It is the first time since 1994 that Americans have won the Rolex Player of the Year back-to-back years. Lilia Vu did it last year. So very encouraging for where women's American golf is. Don't think that would have been the case. Obviously, it hasn't happened in just about 30 years. And she also has 9 top 10s and 14 events this year. That's pretty consistent. Do you like how LPGA does everything? It's like all points-based for like Hall of Fame and everything. There's no subjectivity to it.
Yeah. I mean, there's still weights. Well, I guess in golf it is so much more cut and dry with majors versus regular tour events.
Yeah, but they get it like top 10, you only get points for top 10 finishes. And so I even think like PGA Tour is like, it is it's still subjective of who's in, who's out, whereas LPGA is very much like you get to this point total and you accumulated points.
Oh, I see what you're asking.
You get points based off of these results, and that is what, so somebody that just played like the best golfer ever that just finished 11th every week would have a tough time. I mean, obviously, they would be the best ever if they finished 11th, but that level of consistency, and I don't think it would necessarily help their Hall of Fame rankings.
I see. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I've never put much thought to it.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah, well, now you got something to think about.
Now I got something to think about.
So we wanted to quickly, their season's not even over yet. They still have, a few more weeks left. They still have the tour championship in Naples, right in your family or other side of the family's backyard. I think they always play that at Tiburon.
Yep. I've played it. Tough course.
CME Championship. So we will keep you guys updated of how that season concludes. Moving on to, we have two matches scheduled for November and December of this year. I think I've given my thoughts on the matches. I'm not the biggest fan of them ever. I think there's a lot of downtime between hitting golf shots where there's a lot of time to fill, and if they're not golfers, then that's even more time in between shots just because there are more shots. But I'm curious on your thoughts. So I'll go over the first one and then let me know. November 21st and 22nd. This is all celebrities, so no golfers. It is Bill Murray, Mark Wahlberg, Charles Barkley, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Phelps, Nate Bargatze, Ken Griffey Jr., and Blake Griffin. In a two-man team event, the first night, it will be a two-man scramble. Barkley and Griffin will take on Bill Murray and Wayne Gretzky, and then Wahlberg and Michael Phelps will play Bargatze and Griffin in the other. And then the second day is individual matches for both the semis and the final. Winner takes home $1 million, which isn't the end of the world for the biggest thing for these guys, but I think we alluded to it in a text. What are your thoughts on what they got cooking up over here on TNT?
I cannot stress this enough, how much I hate this. There are a few things in golf that I hate more than this. This is one of the worst things. I'm going to take it to the extreme here. This is terrible. I always hope for the success of golf. I want to, as much as I could, I'll joke about not growing the game. I want golf to get as much viewership as possible. I hope no one watches this. I hope it has one viewer and it's the guy at TNT watching to make sure that the broadcast looks good.
Just based off the number of matches that there's been. People seem like they must be watching them. But I swear we saw some reports of the one that had Rose Zhang and Max Homa and Rory, and then I'm not sure, it must have been Lexi Thompson probably. They talked about that one had like the worst ratings of all time. And they keep pouring them out.
I would much prefer they did something more along the lines of like the Creator Classic or do something with like YouTube folks. I mean, some of these guys, most of them, probably all of them, are going to be complete hacks. I mean, let's be honest. Like, we've all heard of Barkley. We've all seen his story. I mean, people say that Mark and Michael Phelps are decent. They're still going to look terrible compared to just like, and I'm not a huge YouTube guy. I do enjoy it. I think if you're talking about viewership, for one, they're going to be better. They're going to have better golf. They're going to be better players. I don't know. Just something about giving these guys, like none of them, they're just all guys that enjoy golf as a hobby. It's nothing that they do for any sort of career or anything. It's, I don't know. I hate it. I hate it. What are your thoughts? I mean, I can't imagine you're going to be a huge fan of it. Are you going to watch it?
No, probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of depends on what else is on, but I won't necessarily be searching it out, I don't think. It is nice to see that Bubba Watson has maintained employment. Looks like he is going to be the on-course correspondent for this event. So something to keep in mind. I do love Blake Griffin. So I think that will be, I think there's a couple of personalities that could make it somewhat funny for short periods of time. But I think just kind of going back to what you said, it's just hard to, the production has to be really, really good to make up for how bad the golf shots are. And the golf shots are, it's like a tricky, they're in a weird spot where I don't really want to watch like five to eight handicappers play golf, I'd rather watch either really good golf or really, really bad golf. And I don't think these guys are going to be like all right in that middle ground where it's not, you're not going to get entertainment from really bad shots. I don't think you're going to get much entertainment from really good shots. I think it's just going to be a lot of okay shots, which
a lot of bogeys.
Yeah, which is just a bad combination for viewership and entertainment purposes.
You know what this is going to be a lot of? It's going to be a lot of drives that are decent, fairway, just off the fairway, missed greens, chips on, two-putt, bogey.
Yeah, I do
most think, boring golf ever.
I do think the scramble, the two-minute scramble will make it look better than probably what it is, but the individual, I'm a little concerned about what they're what's going to happen.
So I will say, and I'll segue you here onto the next one. I will preface that I love the next match. I gotta say it.
Yeah, no, I think the next one's gonna be awesome. So that it's like it is the polar opposite of what TNT is doing in November. This is all golfers, kind of the first LIV versus PGA Tour, what everyone's been waiting for now for months and months. So we have Rory McIlroy and Scottie Scheffler versus Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. If I were to have a complaint, my first thought is Scottie Scheffler for 18 holes mic'd up could be interesting. Like that's, yes. That's just a long time. Brooks, same way. Brooks is not necessarily like Mr. Personality outside of like a 5-minute interaction. I've grown on Bryson and I think Rory will be fine, but I did think like that's just a long time for Scotty. 4 hours of mic.
So I totally agree with you on Scotty. My perspective I thought was more like he's going to be too nice. I want this to get a little chippy and I feel like fans are hoping it will. I mean, I want it to, I doubt it will. There's just, these guys are still all buddies, I bet. But you know, I don't really particularly think that Rory and Brooks are like best friends.
No, probably not.
But so it'd be kind of fun to watch him jab a little here and there. And I could see Brooks maybe trying to. Bryson's too nerdy and too like in his own element. And then Scotty's going to be too nice. So like, but obviously they want to pick the guys who are going to, you know, have a chance to win. I have a feeling that both the PGA and LIV had their hands in this a lot and were, you know, had decision-making in some regard to who they were going to have represent each. So they wanted to have good players because both sides wants to win, obviously. But it'd be nice if you had a little bit of, I don't know, a little jabbing.
Yeah, I would have taken like a Xander. I think Xander would have been just fine over Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more personality there.
Yeah.
But overall, no, I think this will be, I think it'll be great. 18 holes of kind of like a mixed format, it looks like, where it'll be some stroke play, some match play. So I'm not entirely sure what the format will be precisely, but it looks like it'll be much more entertaining than the one November 21st and 22nd. This is December 17th, a Tuesday. This is being played at Shadow Creek Golf Club in Las Vegas. And then the one in November is being played at Breakers West Country Club in West Palm Beach.
Yeah, I'm just most excited that they have this as professionals.
Yeah.
I just hate the mix, and I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe you're right. Maybe a lot of people like it and enjoy it, but I'm also just not a big, like, celebrity guy. I'm air quoting. I just, you know, I don't care about celebrities.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean.
No, I'm inside on it the same way. I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe some do. It's more so the point.
All right, a couple more things here. We'll wrap it on up. But the Worldwide Technology Championship, previously mentioned, we are getting close to the end of the fall series. We're at El Cardinal at Diamante, which is a Tiger Woods design. Very easy golf course. Statistically, one of the easiest golf courses on the entire PGA Tour schedule. Tee to green last year, of the 58 courses played in the extended 22-23 season, it was the second easiest tee to green. I believe it was Taylor Moore last year when the first time this event was played at this course, hit every single fairway in regulation. The field averaged 12.67 of the 14 fairways hit, and they also averaged 14.59 greens of the 18 hit. This golf course is an absolute joke. It's embarrassing that Tiger Woods were playing an event here. I understand making it playable for the general public, which is great, but then don't play a PGA Tour event here. 27 under par is a lot. that's a lot. And I don't remember how windy it was last year. I think wind can be a factor. It won't be this week. Like, highs of 20 miles an hour would be tops. I imagine they're just going to eat this place alive again. I mean, looking at just the par 3, par 4s, and par 5s individually. Of those 58 courses played, the par 3s are the 57th easiest, the par 4s are the 52nd easiest, and the par 5s are the 45th easiest of 58. Can't emphasize enough, this golf course is very, very easy. Expect a lot of birdies to be made, a lot of fairways to be hit. So yeah, that is Pass Palm throughout 7,500 yards. Should be a lot of low scores. Any names that you have? I have a few here that, or do you have an odds board? Do we have an odds board yet?
We too early. No, I can pull it up really quick. I forgot to grab that. I do have a name though. Before I even go through the odds board, that I will talk about really quick while I'm pulling it up. I am very curious to see how Daniel Berger does this week. You know, you mentioned him earlier coming back from his medical exemption. He's right on the cusp of making it back into the top 125. I believe he was sitting at 129. So he needs to have a big weekend. And he's a guy. I mean, before his injury, he was one of the top players in the world. I mean, he was really great player. So I would love to see him. You know, some people like him, don't like him. I think he's a good golfer. I'd like to see him get back. I never, you know, you never want to see someone's career tailor off because of a medical issue. So it'd be really cool to see him rebound and make it back. So, but before we get back into names, and if you want, you can touch on him. I will just really quickly run through the odds board here. We've got Max Griesserman coming in at 16-1. He is the favorite this week. Behind him, Cameron Young at 20-1. At 22-1, we have three guys. We have Matty Schmid, Bo Hosler, and Doug Gim. At 25-1, we have another slew of guys. We've got Maverick McNealy, Harry Hall, Harris English, JJ Spahn, and my favorite, Lucas Glover. I'll wrap it up here with 28-1. That is Ben Griffin and your alter ego, Keith Mitchell. Any of those names that I mentioned that are sticking out to you?
Did you get to Harris English?
I did. He is at 25-1.
That's kind of where I go instantly. So he has a win in Mexico, not at this course, but at Mayakoba. It's been a long time ago. It was 11 years ago, I believe. In his last two starts, he has a T6 and a T9. I feel like I was a little early on Harris getting back his game back to where it needed to be, but hopefully I don't miss when he finally does break through. He's too good, too talented to not win, not regularly, but fairly regularly on the PGA Tour. So I have high hopes for him. You mentioned it, Max Griesserman at 16-1. I was a little off my stat. Three seconds in his last five starts. Probably has a little bit of a bad taste in his mouth, making a par there on the 72nd hole in regulation to not get into that playoff or not put enough pressure on Nico. So that's a name that catches my eye. And then Joe Highsmith, who I think I might have mentioned, he is hanging right around there on the 125 bubble. In his last four starts, all in the fall series, he has not missed a cut. And he has a T6 of the Black Desert Championship. And of those four made cuts, three of them are top 20s. So he started off pretty tough this year for rookie year, but it seems like he has found something in the fall series. So that's a name I really like. Another one.
71 for Mr. Highsmith this weekend.
Yeah. So that's a name hard to not like. Like Eric Van Rooyen coming off win last year. And then Harry Hall, just because he's from England, if it does get windy, I'm just a sucker for Europeans and wind and conditions like that.
Yeah, I don't hate any of those names. I already mentioned Berger. That's not really more so, I guess, a pick. I mean, I'm not necessarily thinking he's going to win, but I'm hopeful that he'll play well. Another guy, and maybe I'll leave the picks to you and the hopefuls to me this weekend. Another guy that I have as more of a hopeful and just a curiosity about is Cameron Young. And we've talked about him a number of times on this podcast. He has just kind of fascinated me because he started to rise so early in his career. You know, you think 2-3 years ago, he was 24, 25 years old, which in golf is the prime age for you to just start kind of really trajectorying forward and projecting upwards in your ranking and everything. And then he just, something happened a year and a half ago, and he's just really stalled out to the point now where he's, 44th in the FedEx Cup, peaking all the way up into like the top 15 at one point. So it's just, you know, we've talked about the putting. It's bad. I cannot figure this guy out. I don't know if he's just, should we just give up on him? Should we stop talking about him or what? I was so fascinated by the pause and his distance and figured he had so much promise, but now I don't know.
He is by far the most talked about player that's never won at the PGA Tour. And I don't think it's really particularly close.
It has to be.
Yeah. I'll eat my words happily if he wins next episode, but I can't think of a worse golf course for him to win on. Like, this is like a putting fest. Everyone's hitting fairways. He just got his number one weapon removed from his bag when everyone's hitting the fairways and everyone's hitting the greens and you're forced to make birdie putts. That's going to be an uphill battle. Last year, he shot 74 in the first round, or rather 74, 72 in the middle rounds. He started off with a 65, closed with a 64. Maybe if he can put it together for all 4 days, he'd have a chance. But yeah, I don't know what we do with him. It's tricky.
It's fascinating. I mean, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 or so top fives, top threes. These are all solo seconds, T2s, T3s. He's gotten so close, but, you know, maybe he's just likes chasing the dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. He wouldn't know what to do when he caught it. All right. And finally, we'll wrap it up here with we have our annual golf trip this weekend, the Tuber Invitational in Savannah, Georgia at the Landings this Thursday through Saturday. So I think we're playing 9 holes on Thursday and then 36 holes on Friday and then 18 on Saturday, 18 on Sunday. Very much looking forward. This is one of my favorite events of the year. Always a good time. This is your second year playing in it.
Correct.
My fourth, I think. But as far as the golf courses go, I think this should be probably the best set of golf courses we've played in this event. So very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. I mean, I had so much fun last year when we went to Minnesota. Definitely looking forward to Georgia this year. All these courses look awesome. You know, Arnold Palmer Designs, Fazio Hills. Looks great. Just, you know, making a point to do these kinds of trips every year is really awesome. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's so hard to plan and, like, give everyone one place. But then once you're there, it's like, holy moly, this needs to be a regular thing.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, it'd be nice to extend it out and try to do more. I think there's so many options even in the Midwest to get other things going. But I've never played golf in Georgia, so this is going to be a new experience for me. I've honestly just never really played a lot of golf down south.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I could count on probably one hand how many times I've played golf south of the Michigan border. So it's going to be a different ball game.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Bermuda greens, which are always fun. I'm not sure. It should be dormant at least. So that'll help with, should make the rough a little easier to play from. Yeah, a lot of water, a ton of water. So that's I bought some more golf balls. Don't really have much of a preview on the course just because it's private. But from what every picture I saw, there was water included. I don't think I saw a single picture without water.
Yeah, I also did the old bag inventory this past weekend. Went and grabbed some more balls. I have been able to check it out a little bit on Arcos. They do the caddy preview thing. So getting my last little bit of uses out of Arcos before I kick that to the curb. But looks challenging for sure. Yeah, a lot of water. A lot of water. Hopefully don't have to make any pit stops down there to grab some more.
Yeah, pro shop. Get the pro shop's money.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, geez. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with your picks at the Worldwide Technology Championship. We'll report back next week with how Savannah was.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right. See you guys.